I guess, you know, it's, if you put God first, if you put the right things first, you know, I do believe God will bless it. And so you know, putting God first and family and, you know, career is down the line of what's truly important. And so it, our experience definitely was when we prioritized the right things is when God blessed everything the most.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Episode 290. Happy New Year. We are in 2024.
Happy New Year. How was your Christmas break?
Oh my gosh. It was a brain break for me. I have been telling everyone that I needed a brain break and I got it. When I tell you I got it, it was wonderful. We just spent time with family and I sat around and I ate snacks and rested.
Nice.
So, yeah. How about you?
I did a whole bunch of nothing as well. It was great.
Yeah.
I kind of set up shop in the living room on the couch with a blanket and just watched movies and chilled and would snack on the chocolate once in a while. Way too much chocolate.
Oh gosh. Guilty here too.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But it was great.
We get a fresh start.
Yeah, for sure. Nice break, but great to be back and looking forward to this year as well. Lots happening, hopefully, and just gearing up for that. It's a great month to be doing that. And we get to chat with some of your friends today.
Yeah, you know, these guys, we had a chance to tour together back in the day. I'm not going to say when or what year, but they've been around for a while, and we toured with Toby Mac, and just a fun bunch and very genuine, and I'm looking forward to reconnecting with them today.
Awesome. It's Josh and Matt from The Afters on Between the Grooves.
Happy New Year.
Great to have you guys here.
Happy New Year.
Wow. Good night.
Can you believe we're already in 2024? Like, what in the world?
No, we're living in the future.
It went by so fast.
That's what it feels like. We just watched all the Back to the Future movies.
Oh, that's fun.
Because some of my older kids had never seen it. And so, you know, being a good dad, I wanted to make sure they saw all the old films that were classics and stuff. And so we went through the Back to the Future films.
The first Back to the Future.
Yeah, they stand the test of time.
Well, the first one does. I don't know about the second and
first
third.
First one, I would say. So second one, everybody was on the fence about. Third one, everybody loved. The Western one.
Yeah. I don't know. It just kind of got.
The first one was the best.
It just was the same story. Just done in a different setting, you know?
Just in a different time. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
which one was McFly? McFly.
Well, technically all of
McFly.
Them.
McFly.
I think all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aisha, do you guys, over the Christmas break, do you typically watch a lot of movies with the family?
We have to watch The Sound of Music. I'm sorry. I make everyone.
Oh.
I've tried that every year, and my family's gotten tired of watching it, so I'm kind of deprived because I haven't seen it for the last few years. It's a great movie. It's a classic.
Yeah.
It is a great movie. It's awesome.
It's not a Christmas movie, though.
Right.
It's not a Christmas movie, so that's very interesting.
That song, Favorite Things, has kind of landed on Christmas playlists.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What church are you at down there?
I'm at Liberty Church in
Liberty
Lake County.
Liberty Church in Orlando, Lake County. Okay.
Just outside of Orlando, northwest.
Awesome.
Yeah. What church are you at? Because you're worship pastor someplace.
Yep. So I'm at a church called The Grove. It's in Chandler.
Oh, yeah, The Grove.
Which is outside
of
Phoenix. Yeah, love The Grove. It's a great church. But I met the pastor, actually. He wrote some books, and on one of them, his publisher got him a speaking thing that was on a tour that we were doing, and he was on our bus. And so we became friends, got to know each other through the course of the tour. And he always talked about the Grove and kind of what they did and the heart of the church there. And it always sounded really cool to me. And he saw that Matt and I both, because of how our journey with the Afters was, we went through this whole season where of burnout and just feeling like what we're doing wasn't sustainable because of just how much we were away from family and not being connected in the community or our churches. And so we had shifted how we tour a whole lot, partially thanks to being out with Casting Crowns and seeing how they did it. And so we got real plugged into our churches. We both started leading worship when we weren't touring and making real strict limits on how long we'd be out and, you know, how often we had to come back. And God really blessed it. It was actually a really awesome thing. But he saw that every weekend we were flying home to go worship with our home churches. And so he reached out to me years later and he said, "Hey, would you ever consider basing out of Arizona?" And I was like, "No way. My wife would never move to Arizona. I've been there in August when your shoes are melting to the pavement and you know, but we know what 120 degrees feels like and it's brutal." So he was like, I was like, "My wife's not going to go for it." So he said, "Well, why don't you just come out and visit and, you know, check it out." And so my wife had heard me talking about Palmer and, you know, loving, hanging out with him and working with them. And she said, "We should just go visit Arizona, visit Chandler." And so we went out. It was February and it was paradise. It was like the most amazing place you could be in February. It was fantastic. But we loved the church. And my wife, she was really the one. She was like, "I could totally see living out here." And so we made the move for what was next. And so we were open to wherever God was calling us to be. And we knew it wasn't going to be, we really felt like it wasn't going to be in Texas anymore. Cause we had lived in Texas for a long time and we were ready for a change there. And all my family had kind of moved out of Texas, but we love Arizona.
I love Texas.
But Matt's still back in Texas and he's at a church there in Rockwall.
Yeah. We're at Redeemer.
Oh, you are. Okay.
And yeah, Rockwall is just east of Dallas. I don't really ever tell people Rockwall cause they wouldn't know where that is, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just east of Dallas and we've been out here for many years at this point, maybe 2008 we moved out here. And then I've been the worship pastor at the church for, not as long, but close to it.
Okay. Yeah. Would you ever consider heading out further west or that's just out of the question?
You know, it's so probably not. I mean, we have talked about it. If we were going to go anywhere, really, we would probably go to Nashville.
Don't say Nashville.
You know, I say that. Okay. So I say, no, we wouldn't. But I feel like it's just something that God put on our hearts. I think it would, if God put on my wife's heart and mine both that, you know, we're supposed to be somewhere else in the country, well, then I think we would go. I just haven't even thought about that because, I mean, our family is here. We love our church community and we're so plugged in we've got, you know, lifelong friends here. And so I just it's hard for me to imagine that, but if God calls, you go, right? So
that's it.
I think,
when we were on tour going through Arizona,
kind of glad
there was a time
he hasn't called.
There was a time when I was like, there's only one state in the country that I promise I will never live in. And it's Arizona.
No way.
Because we were there like in July, August. And so, pretty funny that now that's where we're living. And we love it. We love it. It's a great place.
So Josh, you mentioned earlier really nice. About the burnout and then how you learned what to do, I suppose, from Casting Crowns. So what exactly did you learn from Casting Crowns? Because Casting Crowns is a bigger group, is a multiple members. And I can just imagine for a lot of them, they probably don't have the whole group going out every single time. They can pick and choose, I suppose, don't they?
Sure. I mean, they get their bus back home a lot of Sundays. It was interesting hearing we actually have the same management. And so we've gotten to know their ins and outs pretty well. And it's pretty cool. I mean, Mark is actually on staff still at their church. He's a youth pastor and still does that to this day.
I love that.
Yeah. And so just seeing how you can do music. I think we felt early on that you had to be one or the other. You couldn't, like, you had to take every show that comes to you, and you, I don't know, when we were new and green, and we felt like we couldn't turn down shows, and we felt like we had to do all things. And there was times when it took a big toll on our families. And right. I remember being out on the road, you know, for 6 weeks or more, and just coming home and just feeling beat down, and our families were feeling it, and our wives were feeling it. And, you know, our wives would kind of have PTSD from those days because
I hear you.
How absent we were, you know. It's not easy on families, the touring life. And so we had a day where we were room with those Crowns guys, and I was kind of just venting to Mark, and I just, you know, asking him, how is this sustainable? You know, I can't go on for years like this. And he said, well, you know, this is what we do, and it's kind of really worked for us. And he said, you know, it's your business, so you can call the shots, and, you know, it's right. your ministry. You can decide how you want to do it, and, you know, follow what God's calling. And ultimately, I guess, you know, it's, if you put God first, if you put the right things first, you know, I do believe God will bless it. And so mm-hmm. you know, putting God first and family and, you know, careers down the line of what's truly important. And so our experience definitely was when we prioritized the right things is when God blessed everything the most.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So do you typically block out certain dates, that these are the only dates based on mutual schedules that you're willing to do gigs, I suppose?
Yeah, quite a bit. Like we'll have a certain amount of weekends that we're willing to be away a year. We'll have a certain amount of days in a row that we'll do it. And we really do stick to it. Because one thing I've learned, if you go through your career and your family has paid the cost, then it wasn't worth it. Mm. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's, and this is not a career where everybody around you, I mean, most artists, you know, you own your business. It's like your business that you're running. So you are yep. the boss. And so because everybody else around you, you know, their income is coming from the shows that you play or from, you know, what you're doing out on the road or the new music you're putting out. So it's not like you're going to have people lined up telling you, no, you should turn this down, or you should put your family right. first in this, you know, that's, and so you really have to protect that time. And at least that's our experience in it. And we do have a team around us that really does respect that and support that and help us.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. And a label that has really supported that too.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful that we did, you know, we're with Fairtrade.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Fairtrade, Jeff Mosley. We've been with them since the very beginning.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Actually, Bart Miller from Mercy Me back.
Yes.
Back in even like early Mercy Me days before they were signed, they were a Texas band and we were a Texas band. So we had shows that we played together in North Texas way back then and became friends with those dudes. So they were the ones that brought us to the label and the reason we got signed. So we've been there.
That's so nice. Any movies in the future?
about our story?
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Of.
There you go.
It that's could still funny, happen. Though. It could still happen.
Yeah, totally.
You never know.
Everybody else is doing it.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, guys, your wow. song, your latest song that's been, I guess, spinning on the radio and streaming services for a little while now, God Is With Us.
What a great song.
Yeah, it's an awesome yeah. song.
Thank you.
Pretty timely, given everything that's happening in the world around us and that has happened mm-hmm. over the last few years. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there's songs that you write that, you know, you sit down and you have an idea or concept or a subject, or, you know, there's songs that you write because, you know, you're inspired by something in your life or somebody's story. This was a song that we wrote because we needed to write it even for ourselves. And it just kind of happened really organically. We're in the studio and Matt had just come from Texas where he had been in the hospital with his wife who had just been through surgery to remove from her lung. And they had to take out half of the lung. Wow. And just kind of processing through what he had just gone through and, you know, these feelings that he had of, you know, my wife is one of the best people I know. And here she's going through this really hard thing. And they found out that she, because of all that, she has this progressive lung disease that may always be with her. And just kind of processing through how's this fair? You know, why does God let things like this happen? And so that kind of sparked these conversations about where's God in these really difficult times. And that kind of became what the song was. We were actually working on a different song. We said, no, wait, let's write this song. And, you know, I think that sometimes people are scared to ask that question, but I know that most people do ask it, you know, where is God right now? Sure. We hear it all the time. We're on the road and we travel all over the world. We do a lot of international things, a lot of international shows. And one of the most common things that I hear from people who, especially people who are processing through faith things, is, you know, where was God in this moment? You know, some really hard thing, you know, where was God when I lost my husband? You know, when this happened, you know, when I went through this battle, you know, for my health or addiction or whatever it is. And so we really hoped that the song would encourage people in their faith when they go through those times of questioning. And, you know, I think if you look at scripture, you see David ask those questions all the time. And even Jesus on the cross, you know, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, but we also have in scripture where God gives us the answer, you know, that he is always with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. You know, there's countless scriptures that remind us of God's faithfulness, even in those hard times.
Matt, how's your wife now?
She's okay. You know, they took the tumor out, and that was at the time the biggest concern. So when they got that out, we went back later, and she's like, she is 100% clear of any of that. They took out a bunch of lymph nodes and tested them all. And then they, you know, 9 months later, they did a bunch of other scans. And so she's clear of all that, but she has two broken ribs from the surgery that won't heal. We're trying to figure out like why they won't heal.
That is painful. I mean, broken ribs are painful.
So she's in constant pain from that. And so it's just really hard when, like, to walk with the one you love through something that you can't do anything about. Like, I can't help her at all in that. And it's been, you know, like really along the same lines of, you know, like asking, you know, God, where are you in this chronic pain, you know? And her last doctor, we went and got a second opinion, about like, what's the situation with her ribs and all of her nerve pain. And he actually said that this might not go away. It might be like chronic pain that she lives with for the rest of her life. And I did not accept that as a, I'm like, no, I think God is going to heal these ribs. And I think, but even if he doesn't, you know, I think God is in that in some way.
Sure.
And sometimes it's hard to believe that, but you know, I really do cling to the hope that, that God is with us and that is enough. I've actually been reading this book recently, just about the covenants between God and man, and the overarching message in all of the covenants is that God is with us. And then when God comes to actually save us and make the ultimate sacrifice for us, he has a new name, and it's Emmanuel. God is with us. I just cling to that. I know, like, people leave the church because of that question all the time. Like, well, I don't see how God could be in my mother dying or me losing a child or, you know, all of these tragic things that happen in our world. And, you know, the only thing that you can't just make that right, you know, and you can't just like raise someone from the dead, but we can know that God is there in the midst of our sorrow, you know, and that God wants to meet us in our sorrow. Like he met Job, you know, so we keep looking for God and finding him in our sorrow. So that's the,
Sounds like the next song.
Like in Psalm 34, where it says, Psalm 34 talks about how the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, those who are crushed in spirit. You know, that's what we hold on to in those times.
Josh, I understand that your sister lives in Israel, and of course that's been in the news over the last few months now. what's the situation like for her right now?
Yeah, she lives right above the Sea of Galilee. She's married to an Israeli guy. Her story is actually pretty incredible because she was obsessed with archaeology when we were younger. She actually saw the Indiana Jones movies and became obsessed with archaeology and would wear the hat just like Indiana Jones
when we were
Of the movie, That's wild.
Yeah, because of the movie. And that made her want to go study archaeology. So she actually went to university for archaeology. And
no kidding. We would get along well.
Yeah. And she, but this is crazy because when she went to Israel and started studying under this prominent biblical archaeologist there, who's an atheist, she walked away from her faith. And so she went through a long season of her life where she was atheist. And so I remember her trying to just debate with us and, you know, argue about how all the things in the Bible are just basically stories and fairy tales and none of those things really happen. And archaeology supports, you know, that none of it really happened and, you know, that all these things. And she had an encounter with God later on. And it was through a Bible that my dad had given her before he passed away. And so he had his Bible that had all of his notes and highlighted passages in it. And he gave it to my dad and he said, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but you know, I just ask that you please keep it. And so she just had it on her bookshelf for years and years. And then about a decade after he had given it to her, she was going through this really hard season in her family's life and would have these dreams. And she said, I'm dreaming of Jesus. She said, I don't like it because it's bothering me. And one night it was so strong, she woke up and she went into her living room and she saw, for the first time, she walked over and picked up that Bible that my dad had given her and opened it up. And there was, you know, a highlighted passage from my dad. And, you know, she said that whatever scripture that was that just jumped off the page at her, it really, really spoke to her situation that she was going through. And so after a couple nights of continuing to go back to the Bible and it speaking to her every time, she actually called me and prayed with my sister. She said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And so 3 months later, she flew out here to Arizona and I got to baptize her. And
that is wonderful.
And the cool thing is her husband is Israeli Jewish. So he's been Jewish his whole life. And so a while after she got saved, her husband did too. And so he's Messianic Jewish now.
My. What a beautiful story.
Really cool. But really cool. So they live above the Sea of Galilee. They have a ministry now, like where they're, you know, reaching out to people who were like them, you know, who because of science and archaeology didn't believe. And you know, they've got some really cool things happening in the church over there. But they're part of they're close to the north. And so, you know, they've been concerned about Hezbollah and other involved in the north. And obviously they're just heartbroken. All of his family lives down in a town called Ashkelon, which was one of the towns that was raided in the initial raid day.
Okay.
And so yeah, just praying for them and praying for peace over there. And, you know, she's actually doing prayer meetings every day on Zoom with people all over the world, you know, tuning in and praying with them. And she's on her balcony right there on the Sea of Galilee. And that's been cool to see, just praying for peace.
Aisha, have you ever been to Israel?
I have not. My sister has, and her husband, they went on a missions trip and got to experience it, but I have not yet. And you see, I said yet, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I certainly hope to go. Have you?
I have not. My mom went years ago on one of these guided tours thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And she took my brother and his wife. So I'm you know, guilting her in the sense that you know, she owes me a trip. But but my wife has no interest whatsoever in going.
Really?
Yeah, she'd rather be somewhere warm, because Toronto's cold, right? So she'd rather be somewhere warm and you know, tropical, as it were. But interestingly enough,
Israel has beaches.
I mean, I could try... I could try to convince her, but she's just not interested. And I don't know if I'd
not interested.
I don't know if I'd go by myself. But many, many years ago, I remember I had gone to school for radio, and I was I was working radio, or I'd just finished and I'd stepped away from it for a time. And I had a friend of mine who had some either friends in Israel, or he had some relatives in Israel or something like that. And he told me, hey, there's an opening. They're looking for a radio guy in Israel. You should apply. And I never did. The only thing that intrigued me about it was that part of the, if you want to call it perk, was that you got your own personal bodyguard. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I didn't bother applying for it.
Do you feel like you would have needed one?
Well, obviously they did.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That was
job
kind of
where you need to have a bodyguard. Well, yeah, second thoughts on that.
Yeah, it sounded cool, and then when they mentioned that, it was like, yeah, I don't know if I'd really want to, you know, head to that neck of the woods, you know.
They love living
over
there.
For me.
They really do.
How long has she lived there?
quite a while, for years and years. I think so that she lived there in the early 2000s, and then she moved back to Holland, which is where a lot of our family's from. And then she and her husband moved back to Israel. It was in the early 2010s.
Okay.
Maybe around 2010.
So now you've got me on Holland, because my family's from Holland, and I went when I was.
Are
like,
you Dutch?
If you're not Dutch, you're not much.
Wooden
shoes, wooden head, wooden listen. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
You got. Yeah.
I know them all. Come on. I went when I was a kid.
I love it.
I went when I was a kid, probably 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10. I can't remember. And you know, did the whole wooden shoe thing. I still have them. Actually, they don't fit, obviously. But I would love to go back just because I have family members there. That's a place I'd like to go to. I think my wife would be into that as well.
You should do it.
Holland
just
is
go.
Wonderful.
That would be fun.
It's awesome.
We love it.
When you go.
Is that where you cut the video? Say goodbye.
Oh, yeah. That was Belgium.
that was next door. Yeah.
Okay. Next door in Belgium.
Nice.
In fact, we flew from Toronto to Belgium for that. We had some Canadian shows, and we had about 5 days off in between two different runs.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
We had to shoot something for this music video. And so we were like, where could we do it? We had this idea for, you know, something that looked like a fairy tale or something. And it was, you know, post COVID, and flights were so cheap internationally because they were trying to get people back on the planes.
Right.
So it was cheaper to fly from Toronto to Belgium than it was to fly back home. So we were like, well, that's a great deal right there. let's go shoot this in Belgium. So we
And if you've got family members in Holland, if you've got family members in Holland, it's helpful too, because you get to spend some time with them while you're there.
Oh, always so good.
Yeah.
We love travel. We get to see a lot of the world. We do a lot of ministry with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Mm-hmm.
So we do a
lot of events all over the world. I mean, this year we were in Moldova. We were just the border of Ukraine doing a big event there. We were in Rome. We were in Budapest just a couple weeks ago. Kind of all over.
How did you guys get connected with the Billy Graham Association?
You know, years ago, they booked us for an event, and we just really hit it off with their team and loved kind of, I love that they go in way in advance for these.
Yeah.
Just flash.
Years. It's not very often, like, years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting the churches connected and working together. It's about, you know, building the health of the churches there and then seeing people come to Jesus and then have churches that they can plug into. So they come in way in advance. And then they stay behind too to help the churches you know, connect and work together. And I can't tell you how many places we've been where we've met pastors and youth pastors and, you know, people from different churches who said, we've never even known each other. And now we're doing ministry together. We have community together. We're working together. And, you know, that's the church. And,
yeah,
and it's just the old school gospel in such a good way where they mm-hmm. present, they share the gospel to put their faith in Jesus. And we've seen the fruit of it again and again. And it's amazing. The gospel always works. You know, when people hear the gospel of Jesus, there's been times that I've wondered, is nobody going to come? And people just pour out of their seats. They cannot wait to come forward when they hear the freedom they could have in Jesus. And entire families, hand in hand, or people that you know, like, okay, this person, I can tell they've been through a lot. And here, they're changing their life right now. It's been a really cool thing to witness.
What I think is amazing as well, and you're talking about people filling the stands and filling the stadiums, what you don't hear a lot of is very often the amount of people in these stadiums outnumbers what a normal ball game would have. But they never tell you about that in the news, you know?
No, that's true. That's so true. And we've been placed. So, for example, one of the places that we were was Milan, Italy. And they had never done an event in Italy before. Billy Graham never preached in Italy. He hadn't been invited. There's a lot of politics, and I don't know, the evangelical church and the Catholic messy history there, and so they had never done an event there. But during COVID, Samaritan's Purse was first responder in that region where the first big COVID outbreak and one of the first big outbreaks in the world was, which was in northern Italy. And they were there setting up field hospitals, tending to the sick, you know, bringing in doctors and nurses. And the Italians were so impacted by that, you know, these people came in the name of Jesus and were caring for their sick, that they invited them to then come and do an event in Milan. And so at this event, it was the largest event that had ever happened in this arena. It was unbelievable. They had, you know, people outside, in overflow there was all these signs, Italy loves Samaritan's Purse. And it just showed how here being the hands and feet of Jesus, doing That's the work it. Of the gospel, doing the work of Jesus, it provided an avenue to share the gospel that nothing else could have.
Serving people. That's what it came down to.
Yeah.
So when you guys are on the road and you're not with Billy Graham or the Samaritan's Purse organization, are you guys still promoting them? Like very often you'll hear of bands, Christian bands in particular, where they have their
passion or
their passion or their charity that they support and that they recognize.
No, we're not tied to them in any kind of way We partner for events and we do love the team over there. Will Graham's become a really good friend and really love him. He has a great heart. But no, we're not tied to them in any kind of official way like that at all.
Okay.
We do work. I mean, there's organizations we work with. We work with like Cure International, who sets up hospitals around the world and have gotten to visit and see what they do. Stuff like that. Food for the hungry.
Right. Okay. Sometimes. I see. I guess being associated with the Billy Graham Association or the fact that you guys are friends and you've done stuff together in the past, does that help you plan your year, knowing that they have events all year long and they've probably booked these things years down the road as well? Does that help you as far as you guys booking your time?
Planning it? Well, we have to plan. So if we do those events, you have to plan it carefully because a lot of them are very far off places.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure. So we try to make, like we have some things coming up in Australia. So we'll try to plan other things around that makes sense to go with it, if that makes sense. But it's definitely brought us to some pretty unique places. Like I never thought that I'd be in Mongolia, but we went to Mongolia and did an event there and it was incredible. Mm. The outback of Australia, like way out in the sticks. We got to do this thing in Albania. They had an event and it was in their, what used to be their government assembly hall, which it was the only government in the world that actually had in their constitution that they were atheist. And so it was amazing to be there you know, here years after the fall of communism there, and in this government hall that used to be by constitution atheist, and you know, here we were, you know, proclaiming Jesus, and you know, it's definitely led to some very cool and unique experiences like that, and seeing a lot of communities change.
You mentioned Australia. Is that,
yeah,
you saying that's something that's going to happen 2024?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be going there. I think it's in June.
June. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And so we have relationships with radio stations down there. So we'll go and do a little radio tour and then try to plan some other shows, kind of, because Australia is huge. It's as big as the lower 48.
Right.
So we'll try and plan some things around that.
What does the rest of the year hold for you as well?
Lots of new music.
Yay.
We have a lot of new music that'll be coming out this year. So very excited about that.
This is stuff that's already been recorded, or you're in the process of recording?
Both. Quite a bit that's already been recorded, and then some that is in the process of being recorded.
Enough to put an album together?
It is enough to put an album together. We'll see how our label does it. Everything's different these days. They don't like dropping full records anymore. They like
right.
You know, putting the songs, out song EPs,
trickle them out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From a radio perspective, that's my preference as well, to be honest.
Oh yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it is, because then you can focus on the single. You can focus on that particular release. That particular track versus, here's a dozen songs. Which one do I play? You've got, you know, all these songs out on the album, and then the album's already out, and it's 6 months later, and then you release the single off the album that people have already heard. It's old, you know, you've already heard the song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Artists love that because it gives each song its time to be heard. You know, when you drop a record, it's inevitable that some cool songs are going to get lost in the mix. They might be song,
for sure,
you know, 10 or 11. Actually, you've probably experienced that. Like, where a song you love on a record that you put out, you're like, oh, this is a song that should be heard. But because it's like track 10 or whatever, it kind of gets lost in the mix.
Yeah, for sure.
And then 3 months after the album is out, okay, what's next? And it's like, but we've got all these songs. We just... You know,
yeah, exactly.
Worked on, and
so when you do it the other way, an album process can last longer when you're releasing it, you know, song at a time, for sure.
Well, there you go.
I love this.
And people can only
route.
There's so much out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely inundated with content. This age, good gracious,
I've noticed
overload.
Mm-hmm. Mm. When a band that I love drops a record with a lot of songs on it, even if I love the band, I find that I have a hard time digesting a whole record these days.
And it's
weird, because I used to love that, and I would just live with a record. And that's something that has definitely kind of changed in my listening habits.
Changed. Yeah.
I think part of that is a shorter attention span, but also
that's
the fact that there's so much content out there, like Aisha said.
Yep.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you very much for hanging with Aisha and I on Between the Grooves.
I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you guys coming on.
And you guys too.
And, next time you're in Toronto, either of you, let's get together for a coffee or something.
Yes.
Would love that.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Would love that.
Take care, guys.
See you guys.
Josh, Matt, thanks for dropping by to chat on Between the Grooves. You can check them out at theafters.com. And before we go, some artist advice from Brooke Nichols.
I would say to love the people that you're leading. Yes, worship is about Jesus. We do it for Jesus, but we also do it for the people. You walk into a church, whether you're a guest or it's your home church, and it's like you got to have a heart for the people you're leading, because it will really change the way that you lead and you worship.
That's great advice, because a lot of times as artists or worship leaders or what have you that are brought in, your mind is not necessarily for the people that you're leading.
Yeah.
It is come in and do what you came to do, and knowing that you probably will never see these people again in this lifetime. But if you have that mindset and that mind frame going in, it would make for a better worship experience.
Sure. Although I'll say it would certainly be easier for a worship pastor on staff, because you see these people, you can probably find it easier to connect or know how to connect on stage sure. when you're leading worship versus somebody coming in cold, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's when you really have to kind of be led, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
be in relationship with Jesus, because it's then it comes to reading the room and knowing the atmosphere, because sometimes you'll have a certain thing planned, a certain set planned, and then you get there and the Holy Spirit's like, no, because of what's in this place, you need to do something different. So mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Yeah, I like that. Brooke Nichols with Artist Advice. And thanks to Josh and Matt from The Afters chatting with us on Between the Grooves. Looking forward to next week.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good stuff.
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.